This is Jenny Allen, and you are listening to the Made for This podcast.
Thanks to Rothy's for supporting Made for This. Step up your shoes and accessories this spring and get ready to be asked, are those Rothy's? Plus, get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/madeforthis. If you're following along with the Find Your People book club, this week we will be reading chapter 2.
Hey guys, welcome to week 2 of walking through Find Your People. We are so grateful you're here, and we hope that you have the book in your hands. And if you don't, that's okay. But we say, go get it, because it is going to be helpful as we process all of this in the coming weeks. So what we're doing is we're reading a chapter each week, and then we're discussing it here. And this week, we're talking about week 2, the connection we crave. I've talked a little bit about this, but what you've got to know is that we were built for this. God existed, Father, Son, Holy Spirit in Trinity. He existed in community before the beginning of time. He has always been in community with himself. And I know some of you aren't even Christians, but you hang out with me every week. I'm so glad. I am so glad. And Christians believe crazy stuff. And maybe this is the first time you're hearing that God is three and God is one. And I went to seminary. I gave my life to studying God. And let me just say, it's really hard for my brain to get around that too. It's okay that that's hard for you, but it's true. And any Christian believes that to be true, that God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that Jesus came to earth in the flesh. He is the Son, that Father God existed as well for all time, that the Holy Spirit is the sent one that indwells us as believers. And each of those three persons of the Trinity are individual, but also each of these people make up a triune one God. It doesn't make sense. I don't know how to explain it because it is a hard thing to explain. Most people, it makes their brains hurt and it feels like their brain's gonna explode when they think about it too long. I had a whole class on it and that's the best I got right there. That was my 101. But God was always in existence in community. He never was lonely. He never created out of, gosh, we're all so alone, like we need somebody else. Nope, they were fully met each of the needs that they had in each other. They are fully, wholly interdependent on each other and they don't need anything else. But because of love, they created. They created the angelic realm and they created the human realm. And the human realm, I know all of it sounds crazy. Believe me, I know it sounds crazy to say it, but it's true and I believe it because it's in this book called the Bible that God gave us. And it's the truest thing I know. I know that it sounds crazy, but I've seen evidence of all of this in my life. It's not just that I've read it in scripture. It's also that I've experienced God. I've experienced the Holy Spirit. I've experienced and seen the life of Jesus. I have been in relationship with the Father since I was young. I've experienced God in this way. He is one and he is three. And he created the angels who many of them fell and became the demons. So we've got a spiritual realm. And then we've got a human realm. And when he created and set man on the earth, he looked at man, the first man in Genesis, and you see the Trinity say, it is not good for man to be alone. And yes, forever, I have heard that verse used in the context of marriage and of family, but it's way bigger and deeper than that. Because out of that family, he was going to build communities and villages and nations. Out of that family, he would build eventually what would become the local church. And out of that family, he would build all the humans. And so it is not good for man to be alone. Yes, it meant that the woman would be created so that the two of them could build families together. But it also was so that people would exist in community, in life, and take care of each other and cook together and make memories together and laugh together and create experiences together and to bury each other and to celebrate each other. This is how life would be most meaningful and best lived. It isn't good for us to be alone. And yet, as we've talked about, most of us feel alone. What I love about God is, and what we'll see throughout this journey together, is that he sets people in families. He builds families where there are none. And some of you may feel like, gosh, I am so alone right now. I can't even imagine a friend, more or less a family, something that would feel as close as family. And this is what he's good at. It says it in scripture, that he sets people in families, meaning that he creates communities where there is isolation. He's good at this. He can do this. It's his specialty because it's who he is. It's how he creates and it's who he is. And it's how he created us. We were built communal. We don't want community. We are communal because it's who God is. And we were made in his image. But there's an enemy that hates it. So not only are we standing, as we talked about last week, on the broken cultural world that we live in, that this isn't how we live. We don't borrow things. We don't need each other. We don't depend on each other, as we'll talk about. We don't gather around fires and have open doors. We set alarms and build fences. That's who we are as a culture. We order it on Amazon before we ask or bother someone for something we need. Not only are we up against that culturally, but there's also an enemy that absolutely hates it. So let's say, and you probably had this happen in your life, where you've had a healthy relationship. You have a friend that is life-giving, and there maybe even is a small group that you find life-giving, where you can be safe and seen and known. And then over time, you get to a point where there's so much conflict that you part ways because it isn't working. I want you to know that's strategic, because if people are together on mission, doing the things that God made them to do, connected in the ways God created them to connect, if all that life and goodness and grace and hope is building up and pouring out of a group of people that love each other and are connected to each other and there for each other and taking care of each other, if all that, which is what we were meant to do, how we were meant to live, if all that's building up and happening and flowing into other people's lives and changing their lives because it's contagious, because who doesn't want to be a part of an environment like that with other people like that? If all that's happening, then it's changing the world, it's changing towns, it's changing lives. You know, I see that in healthy churches where that happens, it's contagious. People are drawn to it. Then the enemy hates it. He wants to twist it, change it, break it, divide it, whatever he can. And he's good at that.
Oh, you guys, if you could see how much I wear my Rothy's, they really could be your new everyday shoe obsession. They give you right out of the box comfort, and they come in some amazing styles and colors, and you can wash them. Guys, you can wash them. It's easy to see why millions of women wear Rothy's shoes every day. For so long, Jenny and I both loved the Point, which is one of their classic iconic Rothy's shoes, and the Flat, which I also love. But most recently, I got their really, really cute sneakers, and they are so classic and can be dressed up or down. I'm actually gonna wear them with a dress this weekend at an event. The best part is everything that Rothy's makes is better for the planet. So they've repurposed millions of water bottles into their signature thread that goes into every single one of their products. You know, it's hard to find a pair of sneakers that you can just throw on without a pair of socks in them. You know what I mean? I just want to throw on a pair that looks cute, makes my outfit feel a little bit elevated and stylish, but they're breathable, they're soft, they don't leave blisters on my feet, and Rothy's are the only shoes and sneakers that have done that for me. Rothy's has casual and dressy styles for men and women, so you can always find exactly what you need. It's not just shoes. Rothy's also has stylish and washable bags, wallets, all kinds of accessories. So step up your shoes and accessories this spring and get ready to be asked, are those Rothy's? Plus get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/madeforthis. That's rothys.com/madeforthis.
Last week, I talked about there being a spirit of fear that I believe is unleashed on the earth. There's also a spirit of division right now. I believe that's happening in families. I believe that's happening in churches. I believe that's happening in America. I believe that's happening in other countries. I believe that's happening probably in your neighborhood with your friends, right? We're all divided right now. It's probably one of the saddest parts of the last season of life. As hard as the pandemic was, what was harder was that we were doing it in isolation, yelling and pointing our fingers at each other the whole time, angry, instead of coming together. It's one of the griefs of the last season of our lives. No, we can't change all of that, but I do believe we can fight back and recognize that that's how the enemy works. He seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. So if community is the best kinds and aspects of it are from God, that those delightful parts of community are from God, then it would only make sense that the enemy would hate it and want to kill it and destroy it every time it busts up and exists. Why am I telling you this? This is a really deep episode here. Why am I saying all this? I'm saying this because if you don't know it's the enemy, you're not going to fight against it. You're just going to walk away from the friendship and give up. But if you think to yourself, God gave me these people, God is building this in my life, then maybe you'll fight for it differently if you think there's an enemy trying to kill, steal, and destroy from you. One of the other things I talk about in chapter two that I think is crucial to this conversation is that we tend to look at relationships to meet needs in our souls that people will never meet. And let me just say right now, the things you most crave will probably never be fully satisfied in deep, rich community. Now, there are things you crave that a group of people around you loving you and helping you love God is going to satisfy. It's going to be a gift, but there are parts that only God is meant to satisfy. And the powerful thing, and I know it's so obvious because you hear it, maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't, is that, oh, you know, get your needs met in God so then you can go love other people and not be needy. Well, you're still going to be needy. And I'm going to make a case for we're supposed to need each other, right? We're supposed to be a little needy when it comes to other people. But our soul, the thing we crave most, is identity, purpose, and connection with God. Those are the things that most in your soul you're craving. Those things are found in God. And when you find those things in God, then people can disappoint you. Because what do I say in the book? The most essential truth as we begin this is that knowing that people will disappoint you, you will disappoint them, but God will never disappoint us. So when God is the center of your life and your soul, and you wake up and go to Him first and say, God, I need you. Help me live this day how you would want me to live it. Then there's a sense of connection with Him that fills your soul. So you can go to your relationships and still need things from them, still need to share what's going on that's hard, still need to confess sin, still need to, you know, run errands together and laugh and have great experiences together. You're still going to need those things, but you're not going to them for the most core needs, fundamental needs that you have in your soul. You're going to them saying, hey, help me love God more. Help me live out the purpose that God's given me. Help me do life and suffering and difficulty that I'm facing. Help me go through life with laughter and fun instead of heavy. Like, that's what you're going. You're saying, let's do this together. Let's run after this together. So without them, without your people, you're going to never feel like, in fact, it says that you're going to be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, as we talked about. So you're going to feel like I can't love God. So you need both. How it's a kind of a chicken and an egg. What do? So in my mind, you grab those people as fast as you can and you say, help me do this. You don't wait till you're perfectly healthy and your identity is secure and your purpose is clear. And then you bring people into your life. It's both and. It's as I am going, right? As we run our races, then we fix our eyes on Jesus and our sin and our burden is falling off of us. It's kind of happening simultaneously. We're running with our people, we're fighting our sin, and we're fixing our eyes on Jesus together. And this is how it's supposed to go. So we need each other to find our significance and our connection with God. But we also have to find our significance and connection with God to be healthy in the relationships that we have. So it's both and. As we are going, we grab our people and we fix our eyes on Jesus. Hey guys, we are so glad you're here. And if you're new here, this is the beginning of season 10, and we are doing Find Your People. It is my newest book that is out, and we are going to read it chapter by chapter. And the best way to experience this is to gather some friends. We built a book club guide for you. You can go download it right now at jennyallen.com, JennyAllen.com. And it's free, and invite your people, get the book wherever books are sold, and let's go. Find Your People, season 10.